Hello and welcome to this podcast from the
Podnuts
World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. Podcasts from the
Podnuts
World Service are supported by
Podnutsians and
advertising.
Hey, Podnutsians, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 533. My name is Door to Door Geek. Mark is away on vacation, and Eric is resting after much medical treatments. Hopefully everything is going for the best. I will say we will hear from him in text this episode. If you want to support him, do not forget there will be a link in the notes to the GoFundMe to help Eric, longtime Podnuts supporter. He's done everything to always help Podnuts, and we should, I think, do everything in our power to help him. He's been on basically every episode of every show that we've ever done, pretty much. He supported us through thick and thin, and I think we should do the same, support him whenever possible. There's going to be short breaks in this show just because it's me. It's going to take a little bit to bounce around and get everything straight. I will say, first and foremost, this show is brought to you by our Patreon, Jay Gwyn Knight. Hopefully I pronounce that right. I literally watched a YouTube video on how to pronounce his name. Pronunciation is maybe one of my biggest flaws that I have in public speaking. Thank you very much, Jay Gwyn Knight, for all your support throughout all the years. If you are a Patreon, sooner or later you will hear your name listed. We are going in order from the people that first supported us until today. It looks like Jay started supporting us. It looks like September 2015. So thank you very much, Jay. First, I want to do just a little bit of talking about Podcast Addict. There's a couple features that I did not, I'll say, take advantage of for the longest time. Hypothetically, you know the last 10 seconds of every episode of Android App Addicts is basically just sound effects and stuff, and you can't really, and you don't want to hear any of that. And you don't like opening up your app and keep hitting skip until the end of the show. In Podcast Addict, if you go to the feed itself and you either hit the three dots on the feed and go to custom settings, or if you open up your feed and hit the gear cog there in the top portion of it, underneath the settings player, I slide the button to override it, go into the internal player settings, and skip intro and skip outro are close to the bottom. So you can automatically say, hypothetically, I know Android App Addicts always ends with 10 seconds of the music and stuff, and I don't want to hear that. I want to keep moving to the next podcast. So you can go here, say skip outro, and say 10 seconds. And basically, you'll never hear the end of the show again. And there are many number of podcasts out there that have a lot of adverts or just fluffery before or at the very end of every episode. So utilizing that, I'm able to much more streamline my listening habits. Huge fan of that. I now have that implemented on at least 80% of the feeds that I listen to. I have unsubscribed from a lot of feeds that were dead. They haven't published in a good while. I'm now down to 147 feeds. I'm going to push that number up here again probably pretty soon. The next option in Podcast Addict I want to mention is the search-based feed. If you basically just go into Podcast Addict, click the plus sign up in the top, you have the brand new search mechanism. If you hit the plus again, three from the bottom on that list is search-based podcast. You can go in there and you can type in anything. You can type in Android. You can type in Podnuts. You can type in Mac. You can type in Tesla. You can type in any topic, you know, and what it basically does is it basically searches the title of every episode to find shows on that. So just because what I did basically the day after the Google Stadia 8 announcement, I created a dynamic feed based upon the search criteria Stadia. And basically, since its inception, there's been 522 different podcasts about Google Stadia that I've been able to find now. Some of them are not in English. There is no English-only option when you do this. Some of them are like two-hour broadcasts where they might only talk about Stadia for 5 seconds. Some of it is very, very, very poor quality YouTube people just publishing the audio to just publish the audio. And then some of it is genuine new shows that I've never heard of. In fact, 99% of these shows I've never heard of. The ones I listened to, there were, you know, one or two that weren't bad. There were like one or two that I actually did go and I did subscribe to. And they were, I think, pretty good. And speaking of podcast players, we have an email from Roy here that I'm going to read on the show. Okay, here's the email. Hello, everyone. I've been using Pocket Cast as my Android player for 3 or 4 years now. I've been really happy with it. It is the best podcast player for me. They just had changed the user interface, and now it is so confusing and everything is buried. It took me 2 days to find my playlist, and then I had to figure out how to add podcasts to a playlist. Everything takes more steps than before, and it's really a big mess. If you look at the reviews, there are many people saying the same thing. I would like to plea all of the Android app addicts that are using Pocket Cast to let them know that you're not happy with the changes to the user interface. If that happens to be the case for you, the only way for us to keep things the way we like it is to speak up and say something. I have emailed Pocket Cast and told them if the changes are not made, I will uninstall it and I will try something else. It is very aggravating when you have used something that works fine for so long and then any day they basically break the app. Thanks for all the help, and I hope what I'm saying will help others and empower others to speak up and make their voices heard instead of accepting change that is not good. I love you, Eric. Hope you get well soon. Thanks and good day. Roy from Lake Charles, Louisiana. Eric did reply and say, Roy, I hear you, man. I wish developers could just leave things alone. Sometimes asking AAA listeners to contact them is a great idea. Currently in a hospital waiting room with fingers crossed. Thanks for all the email. And this was March 14th, and it looks like 5 possibly a.m. 6 p.m. at night is what it looks like. So, you know, Eric always answers emails. And I'll say this. All we have is our ability to contact developers, or in this case, it's really not a developer. It's really a company. It's the developer, Shifty Jelly, whatever, sold it to basically NPR about a year ago now. So when you contact the developer, you're never going to contact the developer. You're going to contact the PR firm of a company. All we can do is contact them or go online and try to complain out loud, like we see so many people do in public forums on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you are at. You see people complain, thinking that they're going to get something done. I'll say this. You can take this exact same type of complaint and you can basically say the same thing about nearly any operating system or any product that we liked, whether it is the hamburgers from the place that we had when we were kids. Why did they change the car that we drive? Why do they have to change it? It was perfectly fine the way it was. Windows 7 seemed just fine for a lot of people. Why do they have to go and change it? And you know, same thing about Android. We're going to have things that change where people are going to say, why did they have to do that? It was perfectly fine the way it was. And you're not wrong. I'll say that you are absolutely not wrong. And I encourage you to try to contact them. You can try to contact them privately via like a email, but I also encourage you to call them out publicly on whatever your social media platform is. If, I'm 99% sure it's NPR Baldom. If Pocket Cast has a presence on any place you're at, I encourage you to contact them there publicly and ask them, did you test these changes? Is there any way I can go back to an old look? Is there any way to ease this transition for long-term users? But here, I think, is part of like the truth. You know, we've all witnessed it where when you call up your cable company or your mobile phone company or whatever company you've been dealing with for 30 plus years, your auto insurance company, whatever, and they treat you like dirt and they offer deals for people who are new to the company, whether it be a new cable customer or a new mobile phone customer or whatever, they offer discounts and you're the long-term customer and you don't get that discount. All business really could virtually care less about the people they already have. This is why they changed Windows 7 to Windows 8, because it wasn't the people using Windows they were trying to please. They were trying to please people that said, I hate Windows. I don't like computers. I don't want to use computers. They were trying to make it easier for those people to use computers. Pocket Cast is not trying to make an application for the dedicated long-term podcast listener. In fact, they don't want long-term podcast listeners to listen to anything on their player. They want people who do not know what a podcast is to use their app as the introduction to the format. Thus, you don't have the expectation of, you know, what's going on. What should I expect? The long-term listeners to podcasts will know and understand that there will be plenty of podcasts that they listen to that don't have any ads in them or anything like that at all, where they're going to do everything in their power to monetize every single cubic millimeter of that app. And every single second you have it open, they are going to do everything in their power to suck down every possible stat they can to give to the advertisers. So I don't think you're their target customer. I don't think any of us are their target customer. They want the new people who've never even heard of a podcast until they heard it on whatever, Nightline, Will and Grace, Fox and Friends, wherever they're watching whatever on a TV screen. Those are the customers I truly believe that they're trying to get, or the people who listen to NPR. So I will say they also already have your money. There's no subscription that I know of with Pocket Cast. You just bought the app and then bang, you got the, you know, you have the app. There's no ongoing fee. So they already have your money. So the likelihood they're going to do anything for the long-term listener, I wouldn't hold my breath. I still encourage everybody out there, if you like Pike, if you like how Pocket Cast was and you want it back, or you at least want the option to have some of those features back, call them out. Call them out. We should always call companies out when we don't get what we want. We are the only ones who control this mechanism. We're the ones who they should be catering towards, not the advertisers, and to be honest, not the creators, but the people actually listening to the app, spending time in the application itself. Thank you very much for the email, Roy. Very good email, and I really do hope that they fix it. If they do not, I will suggest you have plenty of other podcast apps out there. The one truth I will say is now, you know, April 2019, virtually every podcasting, podcast playing app on every platform is virtually identical. The settings they offer are almost the exact same. It's just how easy are they to get to? How buried are they? Do they use different verbiage. And then, of course, it's going to come down to what interface do you feel the most comfortable using? If you want something really trim and really minimalistic, Podcast Addict or Antennapod, I think are great options. But there are countless choices. You can go to something old school like Dog Catcher, and it will probably still work just fine for 99% of your needs, but you might not like the interface itself. So virtually everybody offers free ones that you can play with and you can test out and see if you do like it or not. I will say I firmly believe that if Podcast Addict makes such a change, I at least have a mechanism currently on how to formally complain. Technically, Podcast Addict has converted to be completely free. There is no paid version. You just go download it. There is a paid thank you app you can buy, but there's no extra features unlocked with that app. And Patreon has a Podcast Addict on it, so you can go to patreon.com/podcastaddict. You can donate directly to the developer and you can communicate directly with the developer on Twitter. You just ping him and he will answer virtually anybody. So I'll say at least when I use an application like Podcast Addict, I have some belief that if they do make a big, huge, sweeping change, I can at least make sure that my voice is heard. Unless, of course, somebody offers him, you know, $200,000 or $2 million, however much the guy from Shifty Jelly was offered. And if they offered that to Podcast Addict, he might take it as well. And if he does, you know, congratulations, but I will probably start looking for something else if that happens, but it hasn't happened yet. Thank you for the email, Roy. We're going to go to another piece of like news. And this one genuinely scared me. I'm the guy that tries to go out of his way to say, you know, do not believe the FUD, do not believe the hype, do not believe what people tell you about all the fear going on with Android stuff. And here in the chat, I think we have Eric's kid here. Is Podcast Addict selling data? I will say when you go to help support in Podcast Addict, he says there is nobody getting any data from his application except for him. So if anybody is getting information from the application, they're literally doing it without the knowledge of the developer. All the information is basically public facing. Like I can load up Podcast Addict. I can load up my podcast that I publish and I can see how many people sub to it in the application. So can you. You just load up Podcast Addict, go to Android App Addicts, click on the I for information, and it tells you all the information that it also tells me. I don't know of any way to get any extra information out of it. And there's no ads in it, so there's no reason for him to sell it to advertisers. Okay, this link worried me because I will wholeheartedly admit that I know unwanted wear exists. I know it's a real thing. I'm not going to say it's not. I know it's a real thing, but I also know it's extremely over-exaggerated in articles on the internet because that's what drives clicks. In all actuality, there was just two reports put out by Google. They don't call it unwanted wear. They call it potentially harmful, I believe, applications, PHA. And on since 2017, they have Play Pro Protect enabled on all the newer devices. Even if you load it from an APK, it still gets checked. Since that point in time, in all the year 2018, I believe it was, they said they saw a 0.08% installed of potentially harmful applications. That is in, so that means quite literally, you can load 80,000 applications, if I do the math right in my head, on your phone. You might get one potentially harmful application. That's not a virus. That's not malware. It's just something doing something that they think is potentially harmful, whether it be harvesting data, fake lying to you about a VPN or something like that. Now, if you install from an APK, the likelihood of having bad stuff goes up from 0.08 to, I want to say it was 0.1%. So quite literally, again, 1,000 applications, you might have one. So it definitely goes up dramatically, but it's still not an actual risk, because if you know, and I know, the likelihood of seeing an actual thing on a phone that's really harmful is really, really uncommon. But what's worse than, applications on your phone that are fake VPNs or just trying to capture clicks or do click jacking on your screen to actually have you click other things. This one made me genuinely worried because it basically said researchers find Google Play Store apps, some of the apps, were actually government malware. So the federal government basically was putting applications into Google Play that were purposely infected with malware, and Google did not catch them. Okay. What I hope is they were not just put out there in the wild for anybody to stumble across, download, and install. But what I hope is they were put into the market for research purposes or to like try to spearfish somebody very particular to download and install. But either way, this is the kind of thing that really scares me bad. I don't worry about the Turkish, the Russian, the Chinese, the Nigerian, the Israeli, the whatever guy in his basement making unwanted wear, putting it on the Play Store, and me downloading it and installing it. I don't worry about that, because the likelihood of that happening, again, is next to nothing. The likelihood that a government institution could really spray a large number of applications into an ecosystem and have them infectable kind of applications, that really worries me, partially because I know if the federal government is doing it, it's not just going to be doing simple little basic thing, but it's going to be a pretty advanced, persistent kind of threat. So this is the kind of thing that really does scare me. I'm not going to say away from using Android devices or mobile devices, but it definitely does not make me feel good. I'll say that. It definitely makes me a little hesitant when I install things to do a little bit more curation, a little bit more looking closer at what I'm clicking, because this is not good. This is being hosted over at motherboard.vice.com. Again, link will be in the notes for the full article. In typical fashion, I did not read the article. Many words, lots of words, too many words. So I listened to it via my application, and I listened to most of it, and then work popped up and I had to stop, but not good. To me, it's a genuinely, I'll say, scary thing. Next link I want to talk about really quick. I honestly believe we brought this up well over a year ago on this show. And I'm kind of happy, kind of not happy to say, well, it looks like it's being rolled out and it's real and it's going to happen in full force. And that is Google Podcast is going to start to fully transcribe all of the text from a podcast. Now, here I think is the dirty secret, at least for right now. They might be transcribing it, but we as users don't get to really see the full transcription. Maybe it's because it's in a testing phase. I'm not sure. I just know that right now we can't see the whole thing. What it sounds like is, hypothetically, I say on an episode, 1, 2, 3, 4, heat sink, battery pack, thumb drive, cable. And if I search for that exact phrase using air quotes in Google, this show will come up in a search result. That's the logic kind of thing, doing kind of deep scanning, deep searching of audible words and converting it into text for search reasons. And that's what Google makes its money off of, search. So it makes perfect sense that this is the kind of thing that will happen. The question is will we ever have access to the actual text itself? Because I do believe, especially for people who are deaf, and a service that can transcribe spoken word podcasts could be a great resource to people who are deaf. I hope that's where they're going with it. I honestly don't know. With Google, nobody knows. But I'll say it's interesting. It started. there's separate applications, there's separate apps now for Google Podcast. So you'll be able to hypothetically search inside of podcast and see what you can discover. And I will say there was a another link. This one was at 9to5google.com. Google Podcast is available on desktop web browsers with playback and syncing. Now, I believe there was almost a hack, almost a little trick to get this up and running correctly. But so we're going to have, this was the feature that was touted like 2 years ago as being one of the best things you can do with podcasts, is be able to listen on a computer and have it sync across to different workstations, to different computers. So Google Podcast is already doing that, and it's basically up and running right now, and you can access it on a desktop with playback and syncing. Now, to me, this is the real beginning of the next generation of Google mobile experience. We have Fuchsia, which is like on the horizon. It's kind of hard to see what's going on, but it's basically a fully dynamic, bi-directional data stream of web components, essentially. There is no APKs. There is no applications. It's all just web parts, pieces of web pages that have interaction on them. And this is a perfect example of what it could be on the next generation Android device. When you want to listen to a podcast, it's going to be basically baked right in, seamless integration with everything else on the phone. Because if you can access it on a web desktop, there's no doubt they also have it form factored for a mobile device in such a fashion. I'm going to check it out, even though I don't see myself leaving Podcast Addict any time soon. But I like to try things. And my real question is going to be, is does this have speed playback modifications? I will say my Google News, which it wouldn't shock me if my Google News isn't using the same type of software in the back end. On some devices, I could get it to go up to 3x. But on most devices, the fastest I can get my news to go is 2x. If that's the fastest they offer on this Google Podcast, then there is no way I will ever be able to use it. On most of my podcasts, I'm up to 4x. Some of them, I'm up to 4.5x. And a couple of them, I'm up to 5x speed. But I am also very saddened at now that I know for a fact in Podcast Addict, I cannot go higher than 5x. So that's going to have to be it, and there's no getting around it. Another email here really quick. I want to thank Zoke edited their pledge from $1 to $2 in Patreon, and I believe the real reason Zoke did this partially was to get his name mentioned, because we started doing the Patreon mentions at the beginning of the show, and he said, well, I want to make sure you say my name correctly. I'm like, I know your name, Zoke, you're Zoke. But oh, I didn't realize in Patreon it had your actual legal name. Okay, good catch. And then I looked and I said, well, the bad news is, Zoke, we're not going to say your name for almost 2 years. Because like he was like number 80 or something. And we're only up to like the third or fourth person who helped us on Patreon. So it's going to take a while, but we will get to everybody, is what I will say. We also have another email here from Derek. Let me do some quick little copying and pastings. This email is from Derek in the UK, which I will say Brexit still isn't fixed itself there, Derek. There still is hope. Just don't hold your breath, Derek, because we don't know how this is going to turn out. Okay, here's his email. Wireless earbuds, QCYT1 True Wireless Bluetooth 5.0 headphones, in-ear earbuds with microphone, Amazon link. This is the exact same ones that I got. I think he took my suggestion on what headphones to get, and basically these are the ones that he got. This is a little carrying case is also a charger, magnetically linked earbuds, little tiny things, just snaps right in, holds it in. Each bud gives about 4 hours of juice. If you drain it down completely dead, put it in the case, and it's almost an hour for that one bud to charge. But the other one will play for 4 hours. You can do it in mono mode and automatically converts all the audio to mono. So you don't have to worry about you know, only hearing half of a song kind of thing. His email says, "Hello, gentlemen. I have listened to you for a long time now, back in the good old days of Steve Cherubino. I cannot listen live, so I download the podcast. I just want to say a big thank you to you, Dor, for the above recommendation. These earbuds are great. The sound quality, comma, pairing, comma, stereo sound, comma, fit, all good. I have recommended this to my son and best friend. Both of them have bought a pair. To my knowledge, are very happy with them. Good find, Dor. Please keep the podcast coming. Wishing Eric all the best, and hope and pray he turns. Dor, love you, man. Love you guys. Derek, listening from the UK." And Derek did have another follow-up email. Oh, that was from me, basically saying thank you. First off, I say this. We have been getting a lot of emails saying I love you, and God, there's no way I can tell you guys any better than this. This is why I like Podnuts, because we are first and foremost like family, like friends, like equals. It isn't like, you know, some of these people who believe that they're celebrities doing podcasts. So thank you very much, Derek. And I will say, I am really still extremely happy with the earbuds. Like first thing in the morning when I pull one out and put it in my ear, the time it takes to sync is insanely fast. The only trick I learned is when you take one of the headphones off and it isn't completely dead yet, but it's almost dead, and you put it in the charging case, if you wait like 5 seconds, it will completely disconnect from the phone, and then pull the other headphone out and it will again sync insanely fast. If you pull the other headphone out too quick, sometimes it takes a couple seconds to connect, but it's still maybe like 10 seconds to connect. It doesn't take too long. So yeah, I'm a huge fan with these headphones, and they were only $29, I want to say. The only shortcoming, I will say, because if you really like something, you can say something bad about it. The only shortcoming is I found out a couple days after I ordered them, they're totally different manufacturer, but they look unbelievably similar. The case was, again, incredibly similar. It was a battery pack. The charging time was a little bit different. The listening time was a little bit different, but the buttons were not buttons. They were basically touch panels, and they were programmable via an Android app, which to me sounds really cool. The only downside about these is these are physical buttons on the earbuds. The right earbud, if you double tap it, is always fast forward. The left one, if you double tap it, is always rewind. Even if you're in mono mode and you only have the left in your ear, it will always only do what the left does. If you only have the right in your ear and you double tap it, it will always only do what the right does. So that's one of the downsides, I will say, about the headphones, but it's something I can definitely live with, and it really isn't that painful. But speaking headphones, I wanted to bring these just because I thought it was a novel concept, is what I'm going to say. Huawei, still in the news. Nothing that I can tell has been proven. There's been tons of still speculation. Still haven't seen any actual evidence or any facts. One code review, I believe in Germany, basically just said, "Wow, this is some sloppy code." They didn't say there was anything malicious or crazy in it. I will say the Huawei MateBook Pro seemed to have something in it by default, which is a laptop. Sounded equivalent-ish to like what happened to Lenovo and the ThinkPads. So it wasn't the end of the world, but it definitely wasn't good. But as far as their mobile technology is concerned, we still haven't heard anything horribly bad about them. But just like any other company, they're beholden to whatever country that their home base is in. So, you know, it is what it is. Okay, but this caught my eye just because it was interesting. Okay, why? Okay, and the title made me read it like 10 times. Huawei's new wireless headphones plug into your phone to charge. Wow, what? Yes, okay, yes. So it's basically a wireless headphone that has a little cable coming off each ear, and how typically they come down to one cable and then go out to a long string to actual a physical connector. Well, this one basically comes down, meets, and it basically just meets, and that's it. But you can then separate where it meets and plug that into a USB socket, and it will charge the headphones. So you can charge off of your phone. You can charge your headphones off of your phone. I thought that was at least an interesting concept. I'm not going to buy them, but it's still, I just can't say it enough, a really interesting idea. And if you are like always out and about and you don't want to have to bring special things to charge something and you want to be able to charge your headphones while on the go, literally on the go, and your phone, you know, does last for like a day when it's charged, this would actually be a pretty cool idea. So I give props to Huawei for at least, dare I say, thinking outside the box, doing things a little bit differently than what I think a lot of other people would do. We do have another email. I might hold off on that one from Michael till the next episode, because we definitely still have plenty of apps to go through. And this is one app that I saw that I immediately was gravitated towards. Pun involved. I was gravitated towards the app. I cracked myself up. Sorry. This is by CERN. If you do not know who CERN is basically a multinational organization where they do the highest energy cutting edge research in science that can be done today, for at least right now. Okay. The CERN, huge, huge organization, many different nationalities, many different cultures, many different personalities, all trying to advance science further is what I'll say. And I saw this app and I just immediately had to download it, even though I'm not a AR VR kind of guy. This is called Big Bang AR Augmented Reality, E for Everyone, 379 reviews. Again, it's by CERN, 4.6 average reviews. Updated March 6th, 2019, size 28 megs, installs 10,000 plus, current version 1.0, requires Android 7 and 7.0 and up. That is among the highest that we've said a app needs in a long time, and there's a reason for it, because this is basically using like the AR core kind of technology behind it. Content rating, of course, E for Everyone. Permissions, it's going to need camera access. Come on, this is AR we're talking about. Okay, it's like a short interactive video story is the way I can put it. I do think it's interesting. It starts out with telling you to hold your hand out and now make a fist and now slowly open your fist. And then basically the Big Bang happens out from your hand, which I thought was absolutely awesome. Genius, genius. And then it takes you through the narrative, the story of the Big Bang. You start, they don't see, and this is the thing, they don't go over the insane details that are really like confounding and really confuse even the highest educated type person. They keep it pretty simple. Basically, they start out, they say expansion, extreme amounts of heat. You know, it's only a minute in. Quarks only exist, you know, and then some more time passes. Now these quarks start to bind together to make basic elemental particles, electrons, protons, neutrons. So basically just helium and hydrogen. Time passes, you know, 300,000 years later, time passes, heat goes down, matter spreads out, light is able to pass through the universe, because before, as a plasma, light cannot pass through. 300,000 years plus later, clouds start to organize and develop. I want to say it was around year 1 million. I can't remember. The first star was basically made. And that first star, because it was only made of the basic elemental particles, did not last long, did not shine like a star from today, but it was like incredibly pure looking, and it did not last long. And it basically went supernova, thus starting a long cascading effect of another supernova. And every time that those clouds were then formed back again and went supernova again, heavier elements were made, and then rinse, lather, repeat. And it was done again and again and again, and until we have things like iron, lead, gold, all these things coming out of there. But it took it through a visual, interactive experience. And then, of course, you know, you come up and then you can see like the early formation of our solar system, Earth, what we believe it looked like back in, you know, back in the day kind of thing. They didn't go over the creation of the moon. And I think it's because it's still not 100% agreed upon how the moon happened, but it's pretty agreed upon how the moon happened, but they didn't go over that. I was slightly a bit disappointed, but it was still, I think, an absolutely friggin' awesome experience. I will say, everybody should know, I do not have a high-end phone. I'm a normal user, okay? I have a normal phone. It ran a touch slow on my normal phone, so if you do have a high phone, I would expect this to actually run really, really smooth, like butter smooth. And I would expect if you have like a newer Pixel type device with the core, AR core on it, it would probably run even better, even smoother kind of thing. So if you do have a Pixel device out there, I definitely encourage you download this app. Maybe even if you play around and read all the words in it, it might take you 25 minutes. If you just go through the visual aspect of it, you can probably have the whole thing done in less than 10 minutes. Next, I want to bring a suite of applications, two new applications. One is called Firefox Lockbox. Long story short, Microsoft is after future money. Apple is after all the money. Google is after all the advertising money and all the eyeballs. Mozilla is trying to make good software. That's what it seems to me. I'm just saying. Mozilla, I think, is one of those companies that I'm really happy is still around and I still want to support whenever I can support. Okay, Firefox Lockbox is essentially a password vault. If you do not use a password vault type system yet, this is 2019, I'll just be honest with everyone here. If you can memorize your passwords, they're too simple. If you can remember every one of your passwords and you think you have some super secret algorithm that helps you determine what the password is, if you can remember it and you can figure it out, then it is insanely easy for an algorithm to duplicate that as well. It might take them a little bit to get that algorithm, but once they get it, they nailed it and now they have easy access to all of your passwords. We need more complex passwords, and one of the ways to do it is with a password vault. Firefox Lockbox by Mozilla, productivity completely free, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 220 reviews, 3.2 average reviews, updated March 26, 2019, 41 megs in size, 10,000 plus install, current version 1.0. Again, it needs 7.0 of Android and up. I will tell you part of the reason this has a review and ratings that is not insanely high is because this app is that new, literally version 1.0. You know, you can't ask for newer than that. But I definitely encourage you, if you want to keep text and passwords in a secure fashion on your device, I would definitely encourage you to check out Firefox Lockbox. And if you do find use from it and you do like it, I definitely encourage you donate money to the Mozilla Foundation. They do not make money off of $1 million licensing fees to enterprise organizations. They don't make money selling hardware that they're selling like five times the price of what it cost. They're not making money because they constantly inundate you with ads. So if you want to continue having a more free Libre experience while using a browser and using tools from a company that makes these kinds of things, I definitely encourage you support Mozilla. The second tool that they put out is Firefox Send. This is in a unreleased status, I believe, or maybe it literally just came out. Firefox Send from Mozilla productivity, E for everyone. Again, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. It has no review numbers, so I'm going to say it is still in like the review status. Updated March 22nd. Size depends on your device, 5,000 plus installs. Current version content rating requires all varies with device because I believe it's still in like the beta mode. What this basically allows you to do is it allows you to post once a file and share it out with either one or more people. So hypothetically, you could say, here's a 2 gig file or 4 gig file. I want to share this with 3,000 people, but I don't want to use my bandwidth to share this. You can use a service like Firefox Send. Also, you can password protect that file. So you can say, I don't want anyone to be able to access this except these people with this password. And it does look like the upper limit of the file is for the free version, 2.5 gigs. I don't know if they're going to have a paid version or not, but this is the kind of thing I could see having a paid account just to support them and having it available if I do need it. So it looks like for the free version, it's only 1 gig anonymously. If you sign up for the free account, it's up to 2.5 gigs, which I think are still very fair numbers. We used to have all kinds of different ways you can do this. Here's the biggest difference. This is, again, Mozilla. They're not going to keep copies of it for their own good. They're not going to run data scans of it. They're not going to try to inundate the landing page with ads. This is Mozilla, so they're going to do better, I think, by all of us and for all of us. So, again, Firefox Send looks like a really good tool where if you want to, you can help share files with groups of people, not just single individuals, or you can literally just share it with single individuals. I want to bring out like one or two more quickies. This one caught me off guard. I thought it was a really cool idea. What it basically does is it can basically turn Android devices into remote speakers. Okay. Hypothetically, I have an old Android device and I want to basically hook it up to permanently to a speaker on my deck outside. I can hook it up, plug it in up to a wall, install this application called Play-D2D. And I really wish the D2D stood for door to door, but it doesn't. It doesn't, and that's okay. I'm not hurt at all. It stands for droid to droid or device to device. Play-D2D by Bergen IT, music and audio, E for everyone, 11 reviews, 99 cents to buy, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. It is eligible for the family plan, updated March 17th, 2019, 7.4 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs, current version 1.3. I will say one of the limitations I can tell you right now that this has is you don't expect to be able to broadcast from one Android device to a great number of Android devices and have everything perfectly synced across. This is if you want to send pictures or video to a single device. So you could either have an Android device like a TV and you want to send pictures to it from your device, you can use this. Or if you have an Android device connected to a theater or a stereo system or just a speaker, you can say, okay, here's a file, play it on that device. I thought this was at least an interesting idea. It is really and honestly the kind of thing I wish I knew about 6 years ago. I think it would have been a lot more useful then, but I still like the fact that it's out now, only 99 cents. It's really hard to beat that level of price, to be honest. Very cheap, very affordable, and very functional. I want to bring one more link here, and I'll see if I can find it really quick. Okay, yeah. This one was a link to computerworld.com, which I'm really shocked I actually linked to Computer World. But hey, you know, stranger things, I guess, have happened before. And this is 13 handy shortcuts or hidden shortcuts inside of Gboard for Android. I will say there's an old story that is very true that gets passed amongst the old people who are in computers. And it goes a little something like this. Did you know 90% of the users out there use less than 7% of the features inside of applications like Microsoft Word. And did you know something like 80% plus the features that people ask to have added to Microsoft Word have already been in Microsoft Word for years? And this has been going on for like 10 plus years. That's how deep, you know, Microsoft Word is. It's just people don't really know it. Well, I tell you, the Google keyboard or Gboard on Android is surprisingly deep. You might not know it. You might not realize it, but it is. And the example I'm going to use is there is like one small thing that it is very good, tight, accurate control of your cursor on your screen. Basically, there's two things you can do if you need to move the cursor. One, hold down the space bar and go right or left. Now, if you hold down too long, you'll be prompted what keyboard do you want to use. But if you move to the right or left quicker, you'll actually see the cursor move to the left and right. If that's not accurate enough for you or you need more functionality, at least on my keyboard, what I have to do is I then have to pull up the Google keyboard, any text on the left, I have to hit the Google icon. After hitting the Google icon, there's a cursor symbol. And then with that, I'm able to actually select, there you go, text editing. You're actually able to actively move the cursor with buttons left, 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 right, 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 or up, 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 down, 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 and then say select and then left, 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 and individually select what you want to, and right there hit copy or paste. It also has move forward a word or backwards a word. This is the kind of feature that I don't think really anybody, I mean, maybe if we're lucky, 5% of the people who use the Google keyboard might know about it. But I will say, I think it's a pretty handy feature. It's really difficult to see, but there's a select arrows, forward words, back a word, select all, copy, paste, and backspace. Really, there's a lot more functionality hidden behind this keyboard than just this. And this is just one of those tips that they're talking about on this page over at Computer World. I definitely encourage people, take a look at the link. This will be the last link in the notes. 13 handy hidden shortcuts for Gboard on Android. Really good stuff. Plenty more links there. I literally have at least 20 more links that I'm not getting to tonight, because that's how many links I've bookmarked since the last time I was able to sit down here and do a full show. I want to thank everyone for coming out. I want to thank everyone who is participating in the chat. Sorry, it's very difficult for me to read the chat and talk at the same time, as you can tell, because I sound weird now. But it's really hard for me to do both at the same time. Do not forget, you do not have to listen to ads at the beginning of the show. You do not need to listen to ads at the end of the show. You do not need to have the show broken up every 10 minutes to listen to ads, because this is Podnuts Android App Addicts, and we support those who support us. And if you would like to directly support us, there's multiple ways you can do it. We do have PayPal ways to support us. We do have Patreon. If you just go patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. If you want to send us a voicemail, do not forget 7076PODNUT. We also have email AAA@podnuts.com, or you can just go to the website, click on contact, and you can hit the show and you can shoot us an email. As soon as I hear news about Eric, I will let everyone know what's going on. I want to thank everyone for all the support. The names I'm seeing on that GoFundMe make me feel really good. More than a couple Podnutsians I see stepping up showing a lot of respect for Eric and helping him out in a definite time of need. And do not forget Mark Cockrell over at Element OP, elementop.com. Geek rant over there with Seth and the Australian guy's name I always forget, Miles. Basically, three really nice guys who sit and chat about things that I think normal people would argue about, yet they have really constructive conversations about it. Definitely encourage you guys to go check that out. Do not forget, as Mark always says, pay for what you like. And with that, I will talk to everyone again real soon, hopefully in about a week. Take it easy.
My name is Jeff Hallisch. I'm the host of Podnuts the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer repair podcast live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.